The following program is sponsored by Friends of Life Outreach International. Next, Pastor Jack Hayford and author Margaret Feinberg challenge the body of Christ to work together and seek the heart of God.
And this is not a superficial thing. It is the heart of the Lord's own heart for every single one of us, no matter where we are.
Across the board, we need to look at every human being as created in God's image, as something to be treasured, and that is precious and of great value.
Unleashing God's power on earth, next.
It's always a privilege to come into your home. Betty and I are thrilled to have Jack Hayford and Margaret Feinberg with us. I'm James Robinson. If you don't know that, most of you do, and this is Betty. Margaret Feinberg is a great speaker, wonderfully gifted communicator, communicates with a lot of groups that really, frankly, we would consider it a privilege to communicate to in some personal way, Catalyst and Q and some of these other young people's groups of seekers. She has just been so effective. And she's written a book, Hungry for God. Our good friend Jack Hayford, who has been with us many times. We've done a lot together to hopefully point people effectively to Christ. Jack Hayford has just released a new book, Penetrating the Darkness. He talks about kingdom life and power. We have Margaret Feinberg and Jack Hayford with us. Would you give them a good welcome to life today? Glad to see both of you. Really good to see you. Jack, she makes you look better. It's kind of like when Anna's with you know, everything's better.
I'm glad there's a little brightness in the room beside me. I'm sitting here in my grayness feeling grayer than ever.
Well, let me just ask both of you. You've written a book that I think is very relevant, The Hunger for God, Piercing or Penetrating the Darkness, Jack, which I'm talking a whole lot about the importance of really the family of God as individuals not being covered, and that would include being covered by a sectarian covering, denominational, or just hiding it in our own little family community,
right. But
really becoming a city set on a hill, not only a light that penetrates the darkness around us, but that we come together collectively to be the light that cannot be hid and will not be hid. I think it's imperative, and I really don't think we're going to be shining as brightly if we don't pray and don't become an answer to the prayer of Jesus to come together. Now, I've been emphasizing this. The moment I began to read your book, I saw you're emphasizing so much of the same thing. So I'd like you, Margaret, to just both of you speak to the whole church family in light of what you see and really considering the opportunity and responsibility we have as believers. Jack, take off on it.
Well, I think first, James, that there is a lot of reason for us to feel very expectant of the possibility of the body of Christ coming together in this generation more than certainly in the earliest segments of my years of leadership. A decade or so later, you began in leadership, and we've both been around a while. And you pointed out last time I was with you how much older I am than you, and so I won't argue the point. But it doesn't need to be argued. People just need to look. But it's a delight and a privilege to still have a welcome for my voice and ministry internationally, not to mention in the nation. Nice to be with you. And to be beside Margaret, because I think she symbolizes not just a new generation of leadership that's exciting to see. And we've been involved together in other settings than this one. And I really regard her, and it's a pleasure. We've had some chance to visit already this evening as prior to the taping. But I want to say that the very thing that you mentioned in reflecting on the locations where Margaret has ministered, notably you for an example is Catalyst, which has made up so much of young leaders. But there is a blending that is taking place among the young leaders that does not know the Joseph of the earlier generations of the divisiveness that was so much a part of the body of Christ. There is an increasing thing that fulfills what you and I have been urgently and passionately seeking to sow seeds of and grow a harvest of, To what degree that generation is the fruit of our sowing, I don't know, but I do know this, that the possibilities of partnership today with the living body of Christ, not nominal, and I don't make that judgment, that's God's business, but where the life is in the body, the members are reaching out to one another. All Absolutely. The parts of the body are doing that. So the very thing that you champion and that all of us know is pivotal. The issue isn't just saying, wouldn't it be wonderful? The issue is the power lies with a united body, not in an ecclesiastical sense of bonding, but in a soma sense, the body functioning together. And whether it's prayer or whether it's reaching with the love of God, as you so marvelously model in the various projects that you invite us all to participate in, that blending is in motion. And I feel very hopeful about the future in those regards.
Margaret, in light of what we see, and you know, talking and communicating with some of the young leaders and seeing their heart hunger and yet their, let's say, disenchantment with religion and what they see as lifeless, loveless pretense almost. It's simply showing up and not shining forth. Address some of the concerns and maybe some of the hopeful things that you see.
I think, you know, back to the idea of that hungry for God, hunger is actually something I pray for on a regular basis. You know, I ask God that my heart would be so hungry for Him and the things of this world that I would not be satisfied with the things here, that I would start. And in that place of prayer, as Jack so eloquently describes, and of calling out to God, our eyes are open to very tangible needs. And I think I'm part of a generation who is recognizing that because of technology and just being able to see the images, which are breathtaking, whether it's after a natural disaster or what we see going on in the Middle East, we see those images and suddenly we recognize that we're meant to be part of the solution. But this is not a time where we can afford anybody to sit on the sidelines. Mm-hmm. It is a time in history when it is all hands on deck. I'm not concerned about your denomination. I'm not concerned about your age. I'm not concerned about your gender. I don't want anything to disqualify you from preaching, teaching, and sharing the good news of Jesus Christ and the love that He has for humanity. And so what I see is this merger of the prayer, that growth, that hunger for God, and the expression in the ways of teaching, preaching, and serving that Life Outreach does so well.
It really doesn't have anything to do with the different generations, does it? It
no.
is a harmony among the children of God coming together. Because I feel like in our generations, we still have something that we can offer in yeah. mentoring the younger generation. And they have so much they can offer to us, too, to mesh together and feel that gap that you feel sometimes.
And it's not just offering. We need you. Mm-hmm. We desperately need you. We need your prayers. We need your years of wisdom, mm-hmm. the lessons you've learned. We need you walking beside us, raising us up. We desperately need mm-hmm. you.
You know, I've found something. This is interesting. I've been going to a vocal therapist. When I had staph infection, I began to train my voice inappropriately. I was so weak that I did not support breathy, and with my breath, I began to speak with the muscles of my throat and talk down. And I'm having to learn over, and I've got a woman therapist who's just very determined. And an interesting revelation occurred while we were talking, because as I had to come to the time of where we were not going to be able to, her training me, but I would continue doing and convincing her that I was determined as she wanted me to be. I said, I want to tell you something. I can tell you've enjoyed our communication together. I can tell you have. And I said, I want to tell you what I perceive, why you enjoy this. I have so much respect for you. And I said, but the fact is, I have respect for all women. I said, I respect them greatly. I said, I admire them. And as a result of that, I think they appreciate me. Mm-hmm. I said, as a matter of fact, I think they actually admire that. They see that as a strength, the fact that I recognize their ability and their importance and their value. I believe that we should offer the respect and honor to one another, and then we should deserve and earn it. I really do believe that. And men, I think every woman can respect fully a strong person who is strong enough not to be threatened by her strengths, but who honors and respects her in those strengths. So I just simply say that to you as a challenge. Does that make sense, Margaret, speaking as a man to a woman? because I have, and I sense Jack expressing this appreciation for what you bring, as well as what women bring in the most respectful fashion. Is this meaningful? And is what I said, does it make sense?
Absolutely. I would say it doesn't just make sense. It's almost like a balm of healing. Because there have been those times and those circumstances when maybe as a woman I'm not affirmed or those gifts are not affirmed and there's a bit of a pushing aside. And what you're saying isn't just about men and women's relationships. It's about our relationship with humanity.
I believe that.
Across the board, need to look at every human being as created in God's image, as something to be treasured and that is precious and of great value. And when we see that in someone else, they feel it, they sense it. And I think that's what that woman was feeling and sensing. So the question is, God, how do I draw near to you so that I have those lenses to love people like you love them each and every day?
Absolutely. And it is really, it's something that really needs to cross these denominational lines, Jack.
Well,
and partisan lines.
It's in every arena. Earlier in conversation, apart from here in the conversation this moment, but prior to our beginning taping, there had been a mention of my present work with pastors, which is the primary thing that I do now. I've pastored for 54 years, and for the last 10, it's essentially been pastors since I concluded my pastorate at Church on the Way. And I find this, that they, in fact, I've marveled at this, and I'm wise enough to realize it's not an achievement on my part, that there have been 5,000 participants that have come and spent usually 30 to 35 for 1 week a month, 8 months a year, for the last 14 years. Over 5,000 participants from over 90 denominations. Now, it does make me feel valued that they come, but I do know that there's a great deal more than that. I know that it's the thing you said of the recognition of a younger generation saying, if we believe you regard us, mm-hmm. then we want to hear from you because we need the benefit of the experience. Mm-hmm. But in speaking with them, there's nothing more central to, I don't have to contrive a sense of valuing your generation or your gender or anything else about the denomination. Every denomination was founded in a revival. Mm-hmm. There's values, and those that are living for Christ in those denominations live out the essence of that revival. The ones that have somehow dissipated the spiritual energy of it and are locked in the systems, that's unfortunate,
yeah,
but I can't waste my time mm-hmm. being troubled with them mm-hmm. as though I need to regard them right. with gratitude that at least they still hold something
sure.
of faith.
Mm-hmm.
But mostly respect, regard, esteem, value. And this is not a superficial thing. It is the heart of the Lord's own heart for every single one of us, no matter where we are. God so loved, and it is so personal and so precious. Mm-hmm. And to let him work that in our hearts to where everyone with whom we communicate, as you with that speech therapist, as us here with a mutual regard for one another, not because of any reputation we've gained of some value to people in the body of Christ, but the regard for the true value of the individual treasure that is in, that's in everybody.
Absolutely.
And to live that way. And that opens doors no matter what, no matter what.
You know, what I try to encourage, and I encourage it because I see the imperative in my own relationship. Jesus said that we're lights, and he said you don't take the light and put it under a cover. You don't put it under some bushel, something that covers it and hides it. And you've got to understand that what will hide it is finding some comfort and compatibility that could be in a total system of compromise, or it could be in a system of systematic theology that so refuses any semblance of what you might perceive as compromise that you in fact begin to compromise by allowing the covering to separate you from all the other areas that so desperately need what you have and you desperately need what they have. Mm. I've said this over and over. There's a powerful amount of truth in this simple statement. We too often fail to know him as we should because we refuse to know them, oftentimes to know them at all. So we really don't know him, nor do we bless them. So, Jack, I am trying to encourage people, as I want to be encouraged myself. I don't want to be covered by some system. I don't want to be covered by truth, yes, but I don't want to be covered by something that causes me not to speak the truth in love, not to walk in love, not to be able to look beyond their sin and see their need. I want to be able to see clearly as Jesus sees. And it's amazing how he looked at the people who were wrong. He never compromised with them, nor did he ever fail to love them. He was never uncomfortable being around the people that the religious people would do everything to stay away from. And I really want to... I want to impress upon people getting that covering off. Does that make sense, Mark?
Absolutely. And I think part of that traces back to what we've been talking about in this topic of prayer. There's this thing that I watched, and I watch your show quite a bit, and I don't know if you know that he does this, but it's almost as if he leans into your chair, Betty. Like, you almost, like start taking it over, and it's the cutest thing when I see it. It is. It's absolutely adorable. But I think that's an image of what we're supposed to do with Christ, that leaning in, that that's being good. Close, and out of that place of intimacy and that closeness and that presence, we can keep refreshing those lenses of Christ.
And we're really holding it back here in public. It's all we can do to restrain ourselves.
I would like to make one correction of what Margaret said when she said it's the cutest thing. It's Margaret. It's Betty she's talking about.
That's the reason I'm leaning into her. She's the cutest thing.
You know, when you talk about the no one needs to abide under a covering of tradition. And I've had people often come to say to me, but I feel led to remain in the historic movement I've been in. And I say to them, that is not what your covering is. That is the place that you're called to minister.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm.
And that your covering is the clothing of the love of God. Mm-hmm. And that can penetrate that arena as much
Absolutely.
As it extends to any other.
Yeah, don't put on any other kind of righteousness. I mean, Jesus said, unless your righteousness exceeds the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, which was really quite frankly, was profound meanness. This self-righteousness is very mean. It's very smug, very condescending, very critical, very judgmental. And it's not healthy. The righteousness Jesus is talking about is the covering he's talking about. Mm-hmm. You put on the righteousness of God in Christ. We have no righteousness of our own. We're not redeemed by it. We're not made right by it. We're not maintained by our own, but by him. We count all that loss for the surpassing value of gaining his presence and living in it. Well, I tell you what, we've just got a lot we could cover, but that's the reason Jack wrote the book, Penetrating the Darkness. It's the reason Margaret wrote the book, Hungry for God. Now, I'm going to put both websites up. You can always go to lifetoday.org. You can get the websites and information on any guest, any time that we have on Life Today. Remember that, all right? You can watch, no matter if you've got a good computer, internet connection, you can watch Life Today anytime you want to, and you'll get a good, clear signal every day. You can go back and say, you know, I want to hear that guest. I want to hear that person. Go back and listen. But you can also get any information. But they're both websites. And Jack referenced the School for Pastors and Leaders. Also has the King's University. Margaret speaks in various locations and settings. There you'll be able to find her schedule. Would you join Betty and me just saying a loud thanks to Jack Hayward, Margaret Feinberg, and to both of you. Thank you for your prayers and your support in what we're doing. I want to show you what we're doing. This is the last week we're going to talk about shoes and smiles for Christmas. We're talking about beautiful little feet with some shoes to keep them healthy. We're talking about giving children a smile. Betty, I will never forget the little boy in Angola years ago. I don't think he had ever seen his reflection. I don't think he had ever seen it. And he was able to look because someone had a monitor, and we were televising, of course, doing videotaping, and we taped him with us. And then we played it back, and this little boy had a terrible cleft palate, had an open in his face all the way up like this. And when he saw him, he went, ah! And he screamed as though he had never seen his own face. And it's possible that they didn't have a mirror. You know what love did? We got into Angola. You did it. Because we had to take him all the way to Johannesburg, South Africa. And we got him a new smile. And when I say we, boy, I use that very explicitly. We, I'm talking about you. We got a chance to do that for some others. It'd be a wonderful time to do it, and we have to raise the funds ahead of time so we can give them a smile for Christmas, and we'll point them to the reason for the season. I want you to watch. got the socks? Just need your shoes.
I'm not even here for 5 minutes and I'm crying. You are concerned about their bellies and their health and the water being contaminated, but you don't think of the disease that comes through, you know, the little precious little bottoms of their feet that enters their bodies and can steal life from them.
You look at these beautiful children and you know God did a good thing. He loves the little children of the world, all of them. And we love them and we want to be able to give them some shoes for their precious feet so when they walk, the disease doesn't contaminate your feet and then get into their blood system.
You know what Jesus said? Suffer the little children to come unto me and forbid them not. You know what? We are the representative of Christ. We're his body, we're his family, and we can share his love.
What a privilege it is for me this day to be surrounded by these precious little ones. And I'm going to ask you right now to give them something that sounds so simple that we take for granted, and that is to put shoes on these little feet. Your gift will not only provide shoes for these precious children, but it will also provide smiles, new smiles, for the children who need cleft palate surgery. Oh, you'll be blessed as you put shoes and smiles on the faces and feet of children around the world. Thank you so much.
I don't know what impressions you get when you look at the children. I was looking at their feet, of course, because we're talking about giving them shoes for Christmas, to keep them from getting the parasites and the infectious bacteria and even the hookworms that can actually kill them. We want to give them that, but I got to be honest with you. When I was looking at those children, I saw so much more than feet. I saw precious, beautiful little children. I saw children that God wants to love and hold. And Betty, without exaggerating, when you express the love of God, you actually are putting his arms around them. And that's what I want to ask you to do. This is our last week. And I pray this. I mean, I prayed it before we came on the air. Every person watching, please help us. Help those children. We have targeted, with the missionaries' help, areas where we've got 200,000 children. Some of them are going to have tiny little feet like this, just learning to walk. Others will be older children, and we have a Velcro strap that they can adjust it to wear. And this shoe will last. It's a all weather. It's really resistant to rotting or to the terrible conditions they live in. And they can adjust the strap. This is something they can wear for an extended period of time. Would you help us this week by dialing that number? And if you could give $1,000 or $144 as an example, we'll give 40 children shoes. If you could do that, 36, we'll give 10 children shoes. I don't think there's anyone watching that can't at some level just reach out and say, I'm going to touch those 10 children. And then I want you to really pray about this. This is a fantastic gift. Children that have deformities in their face, cleft palate, some other facial deformity. We want to do the surgeries that is corrective. It averages $500. Could you give a surgery, or maybe two or several? We're sending the Heart of the Father bronze to say thank you if you'll make that special gift. You may want to make a sizable gift and say, use this to give shoes and smiles. I want to do what I can. But I'm asking that you help us. Please do not think $36 is not much. No, it's real big to those 10 children. I'm asking you, please make that call. If you want to go to lifetoday.org, feel free to do that. Or you can simply dial that number. If you write a check, make it to Life, but call us and tell us what you're putting in the mail, because we depend upon you. We're sending the Jesus Calling devotional book for any gift. This is absolutely fabulous. This will help you come into the presence of God. Make that call. Thank you for making the gift. Thank you from the bottom of our heart.
Poverty is a killer, and because of it, children needlessly suffer, not only from a lack of food and clean water, but also from a lack of things we take for granted, such as a healthy smile or a simple pair of shoes. For most of these children, they've never owned a new pair of shoes, and while that may seem minor in the light of all their needs, walking with bare feet puts them at risk of life-threatening infections that could lead to crippling consequences, disease, and even death. Life Outreach International has developed a durable all-terrain shoe especially made for the harshest conditions and children of all ages. By responding today, you can help Life immediately secure and begin shipping Christmas shoes to 200,000 children around the world, just in time for the holidays. Your gift of $36 will help provide 10 pairs of shoes. A gift of $72 will provide 20 pairs. And a gift of $144 will help provide 40 pairs of Christmas shoes for children in need. In appreciation of your gift, be sure to request the best-selling inspirational devotional by Sarah Young, Jesus Calling, Enjoying Peace in His Presence. Finally, please consider a gift of $1,000 or more to help provide two children with corrective cleft palate surgeries, and you may request the Heart of the Father bronze sculpture. This is the last week. Please call, write, or make your gift online today.
It's really important that you understand now this is your last opportunity to help us with the shoes and smiles. And this devotional book is absolutely fabulous. And if you could possibly make every gift's generous, but if you could help us in a substantial way, get some of those surgeries, send you the Heart of the Father bronze. And Betty and I, again, we thank you for watching and helping, but we want to thank our special guests. Join us thanking Jack Hayford and Margaret Feinberg for being with us. Remind you again, they're wonderful books, and there's their website, Penetrating the Darkness, Jack Hayford, Hungry for God, Margaret Feinberg. Thank you. Thank you for sharing this time with us.
Join Pastor Robert Morris next week as he helps you discover how real friendship with the Holy Spirit can change your life.
The way God speaks is through the Holy Spirit.
Life Today is made possible by the supporters of Life Outreach International. Your gift will be used exclusively for the exempt purposes of Life. The ministry features specific outreaches as examples of the programs it supports and conducts. Gifts are considered to be without restriction as to use unless explicitly stipulated by the donor. The ministry is a member of the ECFA.